Jason, take your Bible, go to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 is where we are on Sunday nights and now Wednesday nights for a few weeks. If you were not here Wednesday night, you may say, well, we are in a different spot because on Wednesday night last week and then next Wednesday and a couple Wednesdays after that, we will also be in the book of Acts. We're kind of taking the Sunday night series and also doing it on Wednesdays for about 4 weeks, getting caught up so I'm not so far into next year. And give us something else to study in the midweek. If you say, well, I wasn't here Wednesday, I've missed one, and I've tried to follow it, you can always go online or on the website or on the podcast, and you can listen to that. But we are in Acts chapter number 15. And last Wednesday, when we studied this, we saw in chapter 15, the beginning part, a church that avoided a church split. I mean, there was a serious moment in the early church in which there were certain people, the verse says there was a certain sect of the Judaizers, of the Pharisees, that wanted to add something to salvation. Now, anytime you hear someone add something to salvation, that ought to immediately be red flags and flares and everything going off. And I mean, in the early church, there was some that were teaching that if you were going to be saved, you had to be also circumcised as Moses was in them. And all of a sudden, when that got back to the early church in Jerusalem there, and then they sent Paul and Barnabas went up, and Peter went up, and the other apostles, the pastor led this meeting, and Peter got up and shared what he thought. He talked about what happened in Acts 10, about how God gave him that vision in Cornelius, and they brought them together, and he shared the gospel with them, and he got saved, and he said, that's what a God has told me to do. Take to the Gentiles and not to put anything else on them. It's by faith. And he concluded, look at this verse. Verse number 11, here's how Peter concluded. He says, but we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. He said, it's not by works. We're not going to add anything. We believe that it's by grace, by faith, that they're saved just like we are. Then Barnabas got up. And Paul and Barnabas said, hey, we've been on these missionary journeys. First journey, we've seen people in Iconium, and we saw people in Lystra, and we saw people in these different areas, Antioch, and they're being saved. And we've seen Gentiles saved, and they're all saved by faith. And he said, not only that, but and Peter said earlier in his, he said, we saw that when they got saved, the Holy Ghost came down upon them. He said, so that's God giving witness of their salvation, and it's been by faith. And so the early church had this, and finally after all this, I love James, and I said it Wednesday night, I'm going to repeat it one time. James got up as the pastor of the church, and he's making a final decision, and in verse 15 he said this, and to this agree the words of the prophets as written. And James said, these experiences of Peter and these experiences of Paul and Barnabas are great. The thing about those experiences, they line right up with the word of God that we have. You see, the Word of God trumps everything. The experiences were accurate and true, but it's because they went along with the Word of God. And so James said, based on the Word of God and based on what we've seen those two together, he says, here's my decree, and he made the decree, basically, that we're not going to bother them. Salvation is by faith alone. We will tell them there's some things that we think they ought to do, and I explained that on Wednesday night. You can go back and listen to the podcast. But he said, and the church made a decision. It could have been a big church split. And he said, here's the decision. Salvation is by faith and not by works. And aren't you thankful they made that right decision? And I'll tell you, any church, any pastor, anybody that tries to add something to faith to get you to heaven is a false teacher. The Bible says it's by grace alone. It's by faith. And so last week, that's where we saw where there was nearly a church split. But today we see where there is a split between two people that have been together for years, Paul and Barnabas. Now, let me ask you a question right off the bat. I mean, you don't have to answer it out loud. It's kind of rhetorical, but I want you to think through it, all right? Paul and Barnabas, two men that walk after their flesh most of the time, or two men that we seem to see walking in the Spirit? I think we'd all agree these two guys have walked in the Spirit, have they not? But in this text, I mean, it's going to get heated, and they're going to disagree, and they're going to go apart. And when I see this, these are not two guys just living continuously after their flesh, and they have a fight. You know what? I found when I live in my flesh for a while, I get agitated pretty quick, I get pretty irritable, and I can get in an argument pretty quick. I can get real sarcastic because of my flesh. You get two flesh-filled people together, boy, it's just a matter of time. But I don't see these two guys as ones that were continuously walking in the flesh that's obvious in Scripture. We have two guys that were spirit-filled that disagreed. They disagreed so strongly that they actually split up and went different directions. Now watch what the text says, and then I'll give some background. It says, and some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we had preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So they've already made one missionary journey. I'll reference it in a second. And they've already went back and checked those churches. And they've now reported to their sending church, the Church of Antioch. And so now they're just serving. They went to this meeting in Jerusalem. They've come back to Antioch. They gave the report. And they're just serving in their local church. And now Paul looks at Barnabas and says, you know what? Let's go back and let's go on a second journey. Let's see how those churches are doing, and let's go to some more areas. And Barnabas, like, you know what? That's a great idea. He says in verse number 37, Barnabas agreed, and then Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. I'll explain this in a second. But Paul thought it not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder from one to the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul took Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren into the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So what are we going to do with this text when we have been looking at these two guys, Paul, an amazing man in the New Testament, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, going to be influential in the rest of this book, and Barnabas, who was, in some sense, his mentor for some time. If you think back, remember when Paul got saved, he was one of those guys that was like the terrorist of the church. I mean, the church was scared to death of him. And he went, after he got saved, he went to Jerusalem, and the apostles said, and the disciples, we don't want anything with this guy, man. This could be a trick, it could be something up. And Barnabas is the guy that put his arm around Paul, he was Saul then, and he said, hey, disciples, accept him, he's one of us now. And he encouraged him in his faith when he was a young believer. That was who Barnabas was. He kind of mentored him in that way. Paul, after that, man, you know what? I never really thought about it until studying the book of Acts with you guys on Sunday nights. After that, Paul then went for 10 years or so back to his hometown, and we don't hear anything about Saul. I call him Paul or both. We didn't hear anything about Paul for about 10 years. Silence. We hear about Peter and what he's doing and with Cornelius and things like that, but for about 10 years, so you don't hear about him. And Barnabas is still encouraging people, and he's in Antioch, the start of that church. Barnabas is there, and Barnabas got to teach, and we already went over this, I'm reviewing, and he got to teach, and he thought, man, I need some help. And you know who he went to go get? He went to go get the guy that he encouraged 10 years earlier. He said, I'm going to go get Saul, and I'm going to bring him over here to Antioch. And he brought him, and he said, I need your help. He knew that he was faithful. I think Saul was just back in his land, and he was just serving in his church, faithfully serving. And then all of a sudden, Barnabas showed up and said, I need your help in Antioch. God's doing a work here and starting a church. And he brought him over there, and for a year, they taught the people and they helped the people for one full year. And so Barnabas is doing that. And then Barnabas and Paul, they left after serving there for a year. They take a love offering because a prophet came and said there's going to be a dearth throughout the land. So they took up a love offering at the church of Antioch and said Jerusalem's going to need it. And so Paul and Barnabas took the love offering together, and they took it to Jerusalem to help them out. Now, then notice the time they're spending together. While they were in Jerusalem, they picked up Barnabas' nephew, John Mark. So Barnabas had this nephew, and he wanted him to probably get some experience in ministry and spend some time with him. And so he invites John Mark to join him, and he joins him on this. And later, there at Antioch, Barnabas and Paul are called to go to the mission field. So he spent some time with him there, and he goes back, and now Barnabas and Paul are going on the mission field, and it says that John joined them again. So he starts on this first missionary journey that we've been discussing for the last week, and John joined Paul and Barnabas, and he's spending some time with them. Well, sometime partway in that journey, John Mark quit. He just decided, you know what, I'm not going to go anymore. We don't know why. We don't know the exact details. We know whatever it was, it kind of ruffled Paul's feathers. He didn't like it much. And John Mark just quit in the middle of the missionary journey. He just quit and went back home. He didn't finish the journey. So Paul and Barnabas finished the journey. You've heard me study it for the last few weeks. They finished the journey. When that was finished, they came back to Antioch and they told Antioch all that God had done. They gave the report of what God had done. Remember, in the meantime, when they got to Lystra, what happened to Paul? He got stoned. Last week we saw, last Sunday, they left him to die. Could that have been part of why John... Now, John Mark left before that, but could he have foreseen the tension in the preaching and maybe left because he was fearful? Maybe, I don't know. But he left the ministry aspect of it. He left, and Paul finished it out, and Paul went back and reported. And remember in the report, I love it, he didn't come back and say, well, yeah, they tried to kill me, but I still preach. He didn't say anything about them stoning him. He just said, you know what? We saw some people saved. God was good. He was encouraged in it. Now, I'm building this for a reason. Watch. And then after they finished that journey and gave that, they had to go back last week in chapter 15 and deal with that Jerusalem when they were having that really a conference or a meeting over salvation. They spent some time there, and then they left there. They returned back to Antioch and gave the report, and then they just started to minister together, just serve God together. And so you got Barnabas and you got Paul serving together alongside the church, and they had been doing it for years now. Then as I started the message, Paul says, hey, let's go back out there, Barnabas. Come on, man. Paul was a driven guy. You're going to see it. And he was a driven guy. And he says, man, let's just get back out there and let's go to the second journey. Let's check these churches out, confirm the churches, and let's move on. Barnabas says, that's great. Let's go. Hey, let's get John Mark. And all of a sudden, it gets heated. Have you ever been around an argument or a debate when it got out of control? I told you last week, I hate that stuff. I hate it. I'm the guy, my brother's worse, but I'm the guy... If I'm just watching sports talk, whatever, a station where two guys are talking about sports, if I'm watching that, and those two guys are arguing, and it gets to a point where it's uncomfortable, I'll turn the channel. It's not even talking about me. It's not like they said, yeah, that Brad McClure down at Green Road Baptist Church, he's low down. Man, I'll turn it quick. I'll turn it really quick. They're not saying that. They're just arguing each other, and I hate the tension of it. I'll just turn it. Now, my brother, if they even look like they're going to argue, he'll turn it. I mean, he can't handle that stuff at all. Man, I hate it. I can't even imagine when you got two guys that have been so close for years. One of them even put his arm, I mean, mentored him somewhat and got him in with these disciples and gave him ministry opportunities. And this other guy's looked up to him in a sense and he's been thankful for him. And you got two guys that were total opposites. I'm going to show you in a little bit. And all of a sudden, it got so heated, so contentious that Paul said, listen, if you're taking John Mark, I'm not going with you. And he says, if you're not taking John Mark, then I'm not going to go with you. And he says, all right, we'll go our separate ways. I tell you what, I'd have been so far away from that place, I couldn't handle the tension. Crazy. I mean, these are close brothers. Now, I want to say a few things, and I'm going to give you four quick points just from this text, looking at this text. Number one. Notice this. This was not a doctrinal issue. By way of introduction, I want to say this. This was not a doctrinal issue. This was a judgment call. A judgment call based on wisdom and experience and even some biblical experience. So that's just important because, you know, sometimes, it's going to be my first point, there are doctrinal things that we have to split from. No matter how much you hate tension, no matter how much you hate how uncomfortable it is, there are some doctrinal issues that you've got to split from. I was scrolling through Facebook today, which is always a good doctrinal thing to do, right? I was scrolling through Facebook this morning before Brother Levi's good Sunday school lesson. I told him this already. And you know Pete Wardlow from Rock of Ages prison ministry that's came here with us, and he posted something in one of those pictures. It was a good post, great post. And I guess he's got a cousin that she's Catholic. Well, she didn't like what he posted. So she debated, and I wasn't reading the whole thing, but when I saw it said, I guess we're going to have to agree to disagree, I thought, well, I got to see what it is now. You know, reading it online doesn't bother me like listening to it on TV. So I was like, man, if they're disagreeing, I want to see what's going on here. So I'm reading who's disagreeing with Brother Pete Wardlow. And he's such a great guy. And it said, hey, cousin, he gave a nice explanation of salvation is by faith. It's not by works. And then she came back and said, no, there's partial works to get to heaven. She's Catholic. She said this. And I didn't read all the things. And then here's what she said at the end. It blew me away. Here's what she said. I guess we'll have to disagree because we have different authorities. She said this, my authority is the Catholic Church. Your authority is the Bible. Sign me up with this. I mean, sign me up. My authority is not Green Road Baptist Church. My authority is the Word of God. I mean, this is the authority. This is the biblical authority. And so there are doctrinal issues where you're going to have to separate. There are going to be some things where you say, you know what, if you're teaching that, I cannot teach that. I cannot side with you. I can't yoke with you. Our church can't do stuff with your church and your church. I mean, we're going to love you. We're going to be kind, and we're not going to tear you apart. But listen, this is the standard that God says, and I can't yoke up with someone that won't that teaches against this. There's those things. That's not what's going on in this text. It's not a doctrinal thing in this text. It's a judgment call. Do you know there are judgment calls? People have different opinions. Somebody at this church made a judgment call that Sunday school should be at 9 in the morning. They were wrong, but somebody made a judgment call that Sunday school should be at 9 in the morning. And I'm convinced, I figured it out this morning. I'll say this tongue in cheek, okay? I said, Brother Richard, when he started this church, was in his 60s or 70s, 60s. By that time, you get up so many times in the night, and you don't have kids to take care of, you don't mind going to Sunday school early. But when you got four kids and you're like to stay up late, you don't want to go to Sunday school early. So he made a judgment call. You know what? We're going to have Sunday school early and get to lunch early. Man, I wouldn't have made that judgment call. Are you crazy, Brother Richard? Get that on record. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding with Brother Richard. He's telling that. But you know, he made judgment. Is that a doctrinal thing? No. You know what? It's probably a good thing he did. Make that call. And it doesn't matter. It's a judgment call. There are different judgment calls that you can make and I can make and that don't really mean, there may be different. Someone may say, you know what, I don't think that's best based on just my experience, based on the wisdom I think I have. I don't think that's the best decision. Well, I think it is the best decision. Well, I don't think it is. Well, okay. Then if you're the authority, I got to submit to it. If you're not my authority, then I may disagree with you. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. And that's what we have here. It's not a doctrinal issue, but Paul said, listen, I'm not going to take John Mark. I'm just not going to do it. Maybe a little bit stubborn. We're going to see in a minute. And Barnabas says, man, you know what? I think we ought to take him, maybe a little overconfident. I think in a minute, I'm going to show you what happened at the end. So what are some things based on that? Because this was not a doctrinal issue. What are four things I want to give you? Number one, in this text, we see this. Ministry difficulty is usually more about relationships than it is doctrine. I'm just going to give four, just this is not like an outlining of the text. This is just four thoughts from this text that I'd like to do in Acts. Number one is this. Ministry difficulty usually is more about relationships than doctrine. You know why most people leave a church? It's not doctrine. Most people leave a church because they have a bad relationship with somebody. I don't like how they treated me. I don't like how they looked at me. I don't like how they sniffed at me. Man, I don't like whatever it is. I don't like that. And I'm mad at them. I'm leaving the church. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that a biblical reason to leave the church, first of all? It's not a biblical. It's not a doctrinal thing. Boy, it's a judgment call. I don't like how they treated me, so I'm leaving. A lot of ministry difficulties, whether it be as a pastor, even happens in ministry, or just serving in a church, is relationship-based. That's why I think the Spirit-filled life and the fruit of the Spirit is so important, because do you know what? There's going to be people that rub you. There are personalities that just rub me. Man, I can tell when that personality is coming towards me, and my wife already knows I'm going to be thinking, I just need to get out of here. How can I get out of here? Man, there's some personalities that just rub me that way. But you know what? And the fruit of the Spirit helps me to still be loving and still be long-suffering, still be patient, have that type of spirit. If I'm walking in the Spirit, even if that personality that drives me insane is coming at me, I ought to be able to get along with them because I'm walking in the Spirit, Christ in me. But you know what? If I get in my flesh, I can get kind of stubborn towards that personality. I can get kind of short towards that personality because I'm in my flesh. So the Spirit-filled life is the key. But understand that relationships is a big problem in many churches. You see people leave churches, or I'm out of church because that so-and-so did this to me, and they're done. It's not a doctrinal thing. Here, these two, they agreed in doctrine. Man, they've been teaching. Matter of fact, when Barnabas said, I need you to come with me to Antioch and teach doctrine with me, they taught doctrine together for a year. Man, these two line up eye to eye on doctrine. But they disagree on John Mark. How are we going to handle that? What if I disagree with somebody, Pastor Brad? Here's the first thing I'd say, and I'm not going to give you all of the rundown on this, but number one, is it a doctrinal issue? Well, no, it's not a doctrinal issue. All right, are they your authority? No, they're not my authority, so you don't have to submit to them. Then just agree to disagree and love them. Prefer one another. Is what you're going to do going to be a stumbling block to them? Well, no, then just agree to disagree. But don't we got to be careful, because relationships within a church, that's where we see a lot of the difficulty. And I'm going to be honest, our church in 3 years, there's sometimes a pastor, I don't remember who it was recently, they said, so you're in your fourth year now, how's things going? Is it getting rough now? I said, No, I mean, things have been going great. Great people and the good spirit. I mean, yeah, it's wonderful. He goes, yeah, you must still be in those honeymoon years. I don't know when the honeymoon ends. If it's four, man, we're still doing good. I mean, I don't know how long it's been. But you know what? There will be times of those difficulties. But I appreciate the spirit of this church for the last 4 years. And I hope we continue to have a spirit that says this: not everybody's alike, and that's good. And let's handle each other in a spirit-filled way and not a flesh-filled way. Man, I think you ought to stop for a second. If you start to get frustrated, somebody stop and pull back and say, Lord, am I handling this in the flesh or the spirit? Just ask the Lord. Because ministry difficulties usually are more about relationships than doctrine. Just a simple point of seeing this. But then number two, nothing related, but I want you to see number two. There can be no real disappointment without genuine investment. I want you to think about this for a second. The only ones that can let you down are those that you have loved. What do you think happened? And when I get to the end of this, I think you're going to see that these were not two people that hated each other. And I'm going to show you that in a little bit. But what do you think? When Paul was over here saying, listen, I'm not going to take John Mark, so I'm going to take Silas and I'm going this way. And Barnabas is saying, listen, I am going to take John Mark, so me and him are going to go this way. Do you not think that there was a little bit of sadness in Paul's heart and a little bit of sadness in Barnabas' heart? I know we're looking into the text here. I think there were. I was. And at the end of the message, I think I'll show you why. But I think there was. You know why there was? Because Barnabas had invested some years into Paul. He had invested into him. And Paul had invested some years in and with Barnabas. You know what? If you say, you know what? I've never really been let down by people. Maybe it's you've never invested in anybody. And I'm not saying, man, I hope you get let down this year because I never want to see it. But I think it ought to be that we pour our lives into people that there is a risk that they may let us down. And you pour your life into this person. You pour your life into this person. You pour your life into this person, understanding there's a risk that they may go away or they may hurt me or they may stab me in the back, but I'm going to pour my life into them. And the reason I say this is because there are some people that have been stabbed in the back and say, I'm not even going to mess with people anymore. I'll do my, just like this morning's message, I'll come to church, I'll sit down and I'll sing. I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to disciple people. I'm not going to invest in people because people just hurt you. If that's our philosophy, we're never going to make a difference. Because the reason why disappointments come is because you invest in people. I think about, I've shared a little bit, there's a young man, some here know him, that I invested a lot of time in when he was growing up. Got to lead him to the Lord on the bus when he was sixth grade. Poured our life into him. We even wanted to adopt him at one point, if need be, if his mom was going to just throw him out or whatever. And he used to be my little bus captain. I was telling our kids, he was a bus captain. He would help me out and ride the bus with me. But there came a day when he got a girlfriend. She didn't care about church at all. She had a Catholic background, didn't care about church, didn't want to go. All of a sudden, he's not going to church. I'd still pull in that driveway to pick up his little brother, and I'd see him with her, or sometimes he would just kind of wave. A kid that used to run up and hug me, and he was gone. Didn't care. And I'd drive out of that driveway many a times with tears in my eyes like I am now just thinking about him because I invested so much time into his life. So I had to get a new bus captain. I got a new bus captain, another kid. This kid had been abused by his mom in a wrong way. Different things, but he grew up in the church. Man, he's my bus captain. And he'd see me tearing up as I'm driving out. He'd say, why are you tearing up? I said, well, he said, you miss. And he'd say the kid's name. I say, yeah, I miss him. Wish he was here. You know, it wasn't too long. And then that kid's sneaking out of the house with some girl and he's gone. He's still not back in church. He's gone too. You know, if I sit and think about this long enough and all the different people that have gone or left or whatever, boy, it could really discourage you, can't it? But if you look on the flip side, it says, well, at least you're trying. You're invested in people's lives. And I'll tell you this, it hurts. It hurts. But I'd much rather be hurt trying than never try at all. Never try at all. And there's so many people that say, you know what? I just can't stand people, and so I'm not going to try, and I'm not going to invest in their life. People, it's not going to work. These kids aren't going to turn out anyways. Listen, they may not turn out. They're guaranteed not to turn out if we don't invest in their life. So we might as well invest and try to minister because there will be some that do turn out. You know, I just did a wedding for Vincent. Some of you got to meet Vincent. He was here. He got married to a great girl. They met at camp, by the way. Little young guys keep coming back. But they met at camp, got married, going to be missionaries to China. You know what? That kid drove me insane on the bus. Man, he drove me insane. But you know what? I can be more proud of him. Invest in two other kids' lives and they're gone. Invest in another kid's life and he's a missionary. We have no idea. You know what? All we are responsible for is to say, God, I will do it. I will invest in your life. God will work in their hearts. They have choices they got to make. And I'm sure on that day when Paul went left and he saw Barnabas and John Mark go that way and he went this way, I'm sure there was some disappointment in his heart because he'd spent years with this guy. And I'm sure Barnabas over here, there was some sadness in his heart because he had spent years with this guy. And I'm sure they were broken, but it's because they had invested time. And so I want us to understand that ministry difficulty is usually more about relationships and doctrine. I want you to understand that there is no real disappointment if you don't have genuine investment. And so I know it's a weird way to come at a point and say, well, you may be disappointed, but there needs to be genuine investment into people's lives. That's ministry. That's discipleship. You say, Pastor Brad, though, but that's your job as the pastor. Actually, it's not. It's all of our job as a church. The responsibility is for all of us to invest into people. The Christian life is all about, it's a people ministry. But the number three, I want to say this. Random points from this text, but number three is this: good men can see situations and people differently. Good men can see good situations and people differently. You know, people always argue all the time, and you even look at this text and people say, well, who is right in this case? And maybe some of you have, you already have a mind who you think's right. And knowing the end of the story, some may say, well, actually, Barnabas was right. And I've heard people say that. And some may say, well, Paul may have been right. And you know what? I personally think, in a sense, there's the mindset of who's right. I think they're both right. Say, what do you mean, Pastor Brad? They're both right. They both acted on what guides them. If, for instance, Paul, he's a straightforward man. He's guided by principle. And the principle is, you know what? John Mark, you quit. I got to move on with someone I can trust. I understand that. I can see that. But that's not who Barnabas was. Barnabas and his personality is a man that's guided by people. He's the encourager. And he's a guy thinking, you know what? What can God do for this guy? Well, Paul is over here thinking, what can this person do for God? I love it. Both of them, neither one of them were thinking, what can this guy do for me? Neither one of them were thinking. I think Paul in the mindset has the thinking of, what can this guy do for God? Well, he's a quitter. I'm not going to put him in there. Barnabas is thinking, what can God do for this guy? He's an encourager. He's thinking, you know what? If I get him back out here again, God can do a great work in his heart. I think they're both right. I don't want to choose a side. We're so on choosing sides all the time. I can understand why Paul did what he did. I can understand why Barnabas did it. And here's what I like about it. They're good men can see different situations and people differently. Now, we can't disagree in doctrine. We can, but one's right and one's wrong. It's doctrine. But there are going to be situations that we may have a difference of opinion on. And that's what I love about individual soul liberty. That's what I love about, man, I don't try to tell Cornerstone Baptist Church, you ought to do it this way. And Pastor Johnson didn't say, well, you know what, you really ought to do things this way. No. We may handle situations different, and good men can differ, and they can handle people differently. But what I see in this is God was going to use Barnabas and who he was as a person to encourage John Mark. And God was going to take Paul and his straightforward personality, partner him up with Silas to mentor him and send him off in this way. And he's got two groups of missionaries now. That leads me to my fourth point, is this: God is greater than our disagreements and he's able to bless both sides. Do you know what came from this? Now we've got missionaries going in two different directions, spreading the gospel in different areas because God is greater than even our disagreements. Is it good and healthy maybe for a church to see people arguing? Can you imagine if Brother Chris came in tonight and said, you know what, I disagree with you, Pastor Brad. And all of a sudden me and him got in a heat, and he likes to debate, I don't. So, but let's say we got in a heat and he's good at it and I'm terrible. So if you want to debate, you debate him. But let's say we got in a good debate right here. Is that going to be healthy for the church? Probably not, I understand that. But you know what, in this case we see where God is greater than even the disagreements. And God was able to work it out in the sense where these missionaries, now we have two sets of missionaries. The gospel was spreading. The gospel was multiplying. And just in case you say, well, you know what, Pastor Brad, man, that would have been uncomfortable. Somebody's got to be wrong. Somebody's got to be wrong. I don't think it was contentious over John Mark. And there's both Paul's principled. He's not going to move. And Barnabas is the encourager. He's not going to move. I want to help this guy. I can't trust this guy. Man, they couldn't do it. But do you know what? What's the aftermath of this? Well, Barnabas is only mentioned one time outside of this 5 years later. And in 1 Corinthians 9:6, I won't read the text, but 5 years later, Paul's now on his third missionary journey, and he commends Barnabas. He commends him. So the idea of the verse, matter of fact, I am going to read it because I can't remember the verse. So let's go to 1 Corinthians real quick, 9:6. 1 Corinthians 9:6, and notice what happens. In 1 Corinthians 9:6, he says this, simple little verse, but he says, "Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working?" So he's trying to give an answer what's going on here, and he's in to some challenges to his ministry, and he makes a comparison. He says, "Hey, Barnabas is the same way as me." Well, hold on a second. If you're just reading this quickly, you think, "Well, yeah, this must have been the time when Paul and Barnabas were together." No, they weren't together yet. This is 5 years after the split, and Paul says, "Hey, you know how I am. Barnabas is the same way." He's commending his ministry. You don't commend someone you don't like. Well, you don't try to encourage somebody you can't stand. You know why? Because he trusts him. You know what? 10 years later than that, Paul's in prison in Colossians 4:10, and he mentions John Mark. 10 years later, after this moment, when two guys, Spirit-filled, two amazing men, the heroes, are clashing and disagreeing and splitting, 10 years later, this 5 years, he mentions and commends Barnabas. 10 years later, he mentions John Mark, and then shortly after that, at Paul's death, he's writing back to Timothy, and he says, "Hey, I want you to bring John Mark with you. He is profitable to me, to the ministry." Do you know what? Paul had a change of heart. So some say, "Well, yeah, that's why Barnabas was right and Paul was wrong, because Paul ended up changing his mind." And you can make that argument. I wouldn't care. You could maybe be right. But what I love about it is two guys that disagreed didn't tear each other down. Don't we see that too often today? Man, people will tear each other down. They'll talk about this Christian. "Well, I disagree that you send your kid to public school and I homeschool my kid. Or you went to that Christian school and I did this." And so they'll disagree and tear each other down. When really both of them doctrinally probably line up the same and they could love the Lord together and serve the Lord together. But they're criticizing over a judgment call. And you know what that does? That affects people being pointed to Christ over these judgment calls. Doctrine, man, we got to stand against doctrine. We got to stand against doctrine. And we're going to have judgment calls. Man, there's going to be judgment calls that I make as a leader in my home that you may not make that judgment call. But listen, I don't need to be criticizing you. You don't need to be criticizing me. We got to serve the Lord one together. And I think what I love about this passage is when I look 5 years down the road and 10 years down the road, there's two men that still loved each other and still cared. The Bible focused its attention on Paul. It didn't tell us really anything else about Barnabas. It focused all of its attention on Paul. And so God seemed to get behind him in a sense and say, "I want you to see what happened with Paul." And Paul did an amazing thing. Barnabas did his thing. We don't know all he did. But I know 5 years later, he was still faithfully serving. I know 10 years later, John Mark was faithfully serving. And Paul said, He's so profitable, I want you to bring him to me before I die. I want to see him. Later, he went on to write the book of Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He went on to write the book of Mark. He was profitable. So what I want to say tonight is this. Disagreements are going to come. But two last things, and I'm finished. When disagreements come, number one, don't get sidetracked. Why do disagreements come? Because if Satan can get us pinned against each other, boy, if Satan can get me and James duking it out, not physically, he'd beat me, but duking it out, and we're arguing and we're disagreeing, we are sidetracked from the Great Commission, are we not? The focus is the gospel, but if my whole focus is I'm going to slam this guy on Facebook, and I'm going to criticize this guy, and I'm going to tear him apart, I'm missing the lost people that are over here. And the lost people that are watching this battle over a judgment call, a non-doctrinal thing, they're saying, "Well, look at those Christians. Look at those Christians. Well, they're just like everybody else. They're a good show to watch, man. They fight all the time." Non-judgment call. And if I'm, say, bitter towards him, I won't go to that church anymore. Why won't you go to that church? "Well, because old James, he won't wear a tie up here. I'm not going to go to that church." No, I'm just kidding with James. He looked at me like, "I'm sorry." He looked, gave me that look like, "I'm sorry, I didn't wear one tonight." Like, "I'm just kidding, man. I'm really just kidding." That scared me to death when I saw his face. I'm like, "Here we go. We're gonna start." But I mean, I'm telling you, I'm leaving that church over a non-doctrinal issue, and they spread it and hurt people. Now, It feels weird preaching a message like this when I really cannot think of a single issue in our church and it's not happened. But I'm telling you, I'd much rather preach a message like this, keeping it from ever happening, because it could happen. You may think, that's dumb, Pastor, but it never happened. I'm telling you, it happens more than you even know at churches. Over dumb things. Shingles. Color of pews. Whoever picked these color of pews was not Spirit-filled. All right, they just weren't. They weren't Spirit-filled. That's as close to a doctrinal thing as you can get, is dealing with these pews. I mean, it's terrible. But you know what? There'd be people, there'd be some churches, if we were to change the color of these pews, it'd be a big fight in some places. Listen, disagreements are going to come. Number one, we can't get sidetracked. What is it that Satan would want to sidetrack us from? Seeing people that need the gospel. Seeing the Daryls. I'm going to get them in every service now for the next month. Seeing the Daryls that need the gospel. If I'm fighting with James, I'm not worried at all about spending time with him until he gets saved. Well, I can't go play basketball with you until you get saved because I'm going to try to tear this guy down on Facebook. It's not going to work. We get sidetracked. If we're from the gospel, if we allow these judgment calls to get us off. And number one, we can't get sidetracked. Number two, we can't hold grudges. You know, bitterness and anger will just destroy you. It destroys you. You cannot walk in the flesh. You cannot walk in the spirit. You're constantly dominated by your flesh. You have a hard time singing the songs of praise. You can't teach a Sunday school class. You have a hard time singing special music. It will affect you. It will drain you. It will drain you. It will drain you. And it will drain you. And before you know it, you're out of church. Before you know it, you're not serving God because you are so stuck on that grudge that you have. And I'll tell you what, when I look at this and I see 5 years later him committing in 10 years, I'd say this. It's because though Paul is so straightforward and he's principle thought, he's driven by principle, and he's a straightforward guy, more of the type of personality that's like, let's do it now, let's go, let's hit it straight on. And though he couldn't get what his way, he said, I'm going to go this way. And Barnabas is not that way. He's more the tender-hearted in the sense of, I want to encourage you. I want God to work in your life, which I think they had the same goal, the mindset, but they're going to go about different. And they didn't hold a grudge, though. And I'm telling you what, that was rare. That's rare. Nowadays, you'll see many people hold grudges over the foolishness, just the foolish things. And they don't even stop to think that this is hindering the gospel. Can we not agree as a church? Isn't it awesome to see someone get saved? Isn't it? Man, I love seeing people get saved. Can we all agree? Isn't it terrible to be in a fight or argument? Now, some of you are just weird and you like to argue. Now, I kid my wife. I say, sometimes I love picking on you because I just like it. I mean, I do like pushing her buttons every once in a while just to do it. And then if she starts to get mad, I'm like, I'm just joking, but it's too late at that point. I haven't figured that out yet. But sometimes I just like to do it. But those people that like to do that in the Christian life are usually the ones that are not out there trying to lead anybody to the Lord, not trying to disciple people, not trying to serve. So this text, boy, this could have been. The Wednesday night, it could have destroyed the church, split. If they would have allowed that false teaching of being circumcised to get to heaven in, that would have destroyed the church. Now, I'll tell you what, this could have been a situation that destroyed the other church. Two heroes, two men that they looked up to, arguing and disagreeing. But I think when we look at later on played, we see two people that had the right spirit. They were passionate about what they believed, but they didn't start to hate on each other. And God, through it all, was able to take and use Paul and Silas to do an amazing work, and Barnabas and John Mark to do an amazing work. And at the end, God brought them still back together to serve together as John Mark came there at his death. And so I want to challenge us as a church. Right now, I don't know of any people that are in disagreements with this side or this side with this side. Man, let me publicly say I thank the Lord that right now we don't have any of that in our church. I'm thankful. But may it be a church that we say, you know what, I'm going to take this in and I'm going to meditate on this because I don't want it to ever sidetrack us as a church from what we need to be doing. Let's keep reaching people with the gospel. Let's keep discipling people. Let's keep helping people grow because this stuff will destroy if we don't handle it properly. It looked like a scary situation here, but as it ends, Paul and Silas departed, it says, being recommended by the brethren. That's why, another reason why I don't think it got so out of control, two flesh-filled guys just fighting, because they were recommended by the brethren. And they went by the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Sicily and confirming the churches, and God began to use him. We're going to see in the next chapter God already doing something amazing in Paul's life. So my thought is this, where are you at? Where are you at right now as we come to this invitation? Are you someone that you say, man, you know what, Pastor Brad, you don't know it because you just said you think everything's good, but in my heart there are some grudges right now in my heart. Man, I know it. I'm upset with that other Christian. And in my heart I know I am, and I need to ask. I need to either ask their forgiveness if it's something I've done, or I need to deal with it with the Lord. I need to get this thing right because it's not a doctrinal issue. And it's maybe a judgment call type of thing. And in my spirit, I know I'm not right. Do you know I've seen some people make decisions over bitterness and holding grudges that have set them free to become great servants of the Lord. If Vincent, that young man I told you about who's a missionary to China, if he were standing behind this pulpit right now and I asked him to, he would do it because he's done it. And he'd share testimony of how God freed him from a bitterness that I won't talk about, but it's freed him from a bitterness he had in his life that now I think is the reason why he is where he is today, because he dealt with a bitterness that happened to him when he was young. He would share public testimony. What is it? Is there any disagreements or frustrations that are in our hearts that's hindering us? Let's not let it get us sidetracked, because that's all Satan wants to do. Let's bow our heads for a second.